Chapter 21 Morning found Ramon aching and tired. Through the boughs above him, the sky was gray. The breeze smelled heavy with rain. The other man had risen before him and was boiling a handful of honeygrass. Ramon yawned mightily, then rubbed his eyes. His elbow itched, so he scratched, feeling the hard knot of scar where the machete had bitten. It was almost its familiar size and hardness. He plucked the sleeve of his robe down to cover it. "Storm coming on," the other man said. "Gonna be pretty wet by tonight." "Better get moving then," Ramon said. "I was thinking we could hole up, find someplace dry to wait it out." "Good idea. How about Fiddler's Jump? Dry enough there?" "We got days before we can even think of seeing people." "We've got more of them if we screw around like a couple of schoolgirls trying not to get our hair wet," Ramon said. The other man's gaze hardened. "Fine," the man said. "That's the way you want it? We'll do that." After they ate breakfast, the honeygrass tasting rich and heavy as wheat after the boiling had burst the grains, Ramon and his twin mapped out the path that made the best sense. Unsurprisingly, they shared the same basic idea. The other man objected to a few of Ramon's suggestions, but that was more for the sake of the objection itself. "We'll have to clear some of the brush, maybe a sapling or two," Ramon said. "You want to give me the knife? We can share the shit work."
"I can do it," the man said.
"Your choice." When they reached the raft again, Ramon used the vines with which they'd pulled it from the river to make a simple yoke. When pulled from the side, the floats acted more like runners, and dragging it was easier than lifting the full weight. The man walked ahead, clearing what he could, or went back to the raft itself to lift it over the rocks and bushes with which it became entangled. The sun sloped unseen toward the top of its arc. The Enya ships peeked through the rare break in the cloud cover. The work was backbreaking, but Ramon pushed through the pain. His spine was screaming. His feet felt on the verge of bleeding. His shoulders were rubbing raw where the yoke rested, but it wasn't like he was cauterizing the stump of his own lost finger. If he was capable of that, and judging by the man, he was, pulling a raft through the woods shouldn't be worth thinking about. And, as the hours passed, he found the burden growing more bearable. The endless ache in his muscles became less a sensation and more an environment. The other man darted back and forth, clearing the path ahead, lifting the raft and pushing it past the tighter spots when he went behind. Ramon didn't speak much, just leaned into his task. He sensed that his twin was coming to respect him. He knew how much that would gall the man, and it put an extra strength in his back. He thought of Christ bearing his cross while the Romans beat him and the crowd jeered. The raft had to be lighter than that. And it wasn't his own death waiting when he reached the water, but instead his salvation. He had no room for complaint. The third time he stumbled, he barked his shin on a rock. The gash didn't hurt, but blood slicked his skin. He cursed mildly and started to rise to his feet. A hand on his shoulder stopped him. "Take a break, Ese," the man said. "You've been busting your hump all day. It's time for lunch."
"I can keep going," Ramon said. "No trouble."
"Yeah, okay, you're a badass. Got it. Put your fucking leg up and I'll go find us some food." Ramon chuckled, then shrugged off the yoke and rolled onto his back. The sky was darker now, closer than a cathedral's ceiling. He heard what might have been distant thunder or only a heightened awareness of the blood in his own ears. The man shook his head and turned away. Ramon smiled. It was strange, not knowing whether or not he liked the man who was himself. He'd never seen how he was from the outside. Smart, resourceful, tough as old leather, but wound tight around his fears and ready to blame everyone but himself. All that insecurity and rage fizzing inside him, ready to explode at the slightest provocation, strutting around like a bantam cock, staring down whoever was nearby. This was what he had always been, only it took becoming an alien monstrosity to see it. But there was a dignity to the man, in spite of his flaws, and a surprising strength of will. He'd engineered Manek's death. He'd sealed the stump of his missing finger when most men would have tried to live with the open wound, and the fact that he wasn't dying of fever right now was a testament to his wisdom. He was even capable of a kind of weird compassion, keeping Ramon from pushing on now, lying about Liana so he wouldn't sound weak. What was he really like? All the pieces of the man's personality seemed at odds with each other, and they also seemed to fit. The only thing that didn't make sense to him, even now, was staying with Elena. He couldn't see why his twin would do that. He understood why he would have. But this other self could surely do better, even if they were the same man. He didn't remember dozing off, only waking when the man shook his arm. Ramon slapped a hand over the scar at his elbow almost before he opened his eyes. The man was squatting beside him, two fat Habali cubs in his hand. Ramon sat up, his body protesting. "Where did you get those?" he asked. "I got lucky," the man said. "Come on, I've got a fire started. You can talk with me while I clean these poor pendejos." Ramon levered himself up to sitting, and then stood. "Tomorrow I'll cook," he said. "You did breakfast and lunch both." "Go ahead," the man said. "You want to make some food? I'm not going to stop you." Ramon sat close to the fire, watching the man gut and skin the little animals. The wood hissed and popped. The flame fluttered with a sound like wings when a gust of air blew through it. It would take them another couple of hours to reach the lower river bank. He wondered if it would be raining by then, and which of them would spend the night in the lean-to. Pushing himself as hard as he had would win the man's respect, but probably not so much as that. "You're from Mexico?" the man asked. "What?" "Mexico, on Earth. That where you're from?" "Yeah," Ramon said. "Oaxaca. Why?" "Just thinking. You look like a Mexicano. You've got that kind of face." Ramon stared at the fire, willing the man to talk about anything but how he looked. Either the man picked up on it, or he hadn't been that concerned with the subject to start. "What's it like, being a cop?" he asked instead. "You like it?" "Yeah," Ramon said. "I like it. It's a good job, you know?" "Looks shitty to me," the man said. "No offense, but all the time you have to take guys who are just trying to get along and bust their balls." "And why?" "Because the governor tells you to." "So what? I mean, who's the governor? You take away his power and his money, and you think he's going to act any different than the folks he's coming down on?" "Yeah, well," Ramon said, trying to think how a cop would answer. "The governor's a snooty Portuguese prick, that's true. But it's not all like that. Yeah, part of it's colonial bullshit, checking licenses and permits and shit. But it's not just about that."
"No?"
"No," Ramon said. "There's also the real bad pendejos. The guys who sneak into church, piss all over the altar. The ones who mess with children. I deal with those assholes, too." "Guys who stab ambassadors, you mean?" the man said, his voice cool. "Fuck that. I mean bad ones. The kind that need killing. You know what I mean." The man looked up. There was blood on his hands, red and darkening. Ramon saw something in the man's face, something unexpected. Pain, embarrassment, regret, pride, something. "There's all kinds of crazy bastards out there," Ramon said, still pretending to be a policeman. "Most of the time we don't care about people just getting on with their lives. But there's rapists. There's the guy who just wants to kill people for no reason. And there's nothing worse than someone who hurts Key." "Key?" "Children," Ramon said, surprised at himself for the slip. "Kids who are too small to defend themselves,
or even know what's going on. There's nothing fucking lower than that. That's why I'm a cop. And people know it, you know? People know that on one side there's them, and then on the other side there's me. Ramon broke off. He didn't know what he was saying anymore. The words, the thoughts, they were all jumbled in his head. The Enya crushing tiny alien things. The European. Mikhail Ibrahim taking his knife. The feeling of being Manek and watching its people die. Manek was right. They shouldn't laugh. There was nothing to laugh about. If she just hadn't laughed. "You okay?" the man asked. "Yeah," Ramon said. "I'm fine. I'm fine." The man nodded and turned back to the carcasses, holding them over the fire, letting the fat liquefy, the muscle tissues sear. The scent of rain was growing stronger. They both ignored it. "I could have been a cop," the man said at last. "I'd have been good." "You would have," Ramon agreed, wrapping his arms around his drawn-up knees. "You'd have been great." They were silent. The only sounds the hissing of grease as it dripped into the fire and the constant rustling of leaves. The man turned the carcasses, setting the other sides to brown. "That was a good call back there, when we were trying to get to shore. I didn't even see that pinche rock. But you, Esse, you headed right for it. We'd have gone over for sure if you hadn't." He was giving Ramon an out, a way to change the subject. Even without knowing what it was that was bothering him, the man knew it was a kindness to steer away from it, and Ramon clutched at the chance. "It's all about flow," he said. "Knowing how it looks when there's something disrupting it, it just feels different, you know?" "Whatever it is, you did a fucking man's job of it," the man said. "I couldn't have." Ramon waved the compliment away. If this went on too long, they'd cross the line into patronizing. He didn't want that. Right now, for this moment, he liked the man. He wanted very much to like his twin, and the cabron wasn't often very likable. "You'd have done the same thing if you'd been steering," Ramon said. "Nah, man, I really wouldn't." And it struck Ramon that that might be true. Being inside Manek's head might have taught him something about being a river, about flow. Just because he and the other man had started off the same, these last few days had been different for both of them. There was no reason they should be identical now. They'd had different experiences, learned different lessons from the world. He hadn't lost a finger. His twin hadn't had the Sahel digging into his throat.
"You are not to diverge from the man," Manek's voice rumbled in the back of his mind.
But how could he help it? The world looked different, depending on where you sat. They ate, digging into the cooked flesh with their fingers. The meat was hot. It burned his fingers a little. But it tasted like the finest meal he'd ever had. Hunger did that. The other man seemed to feel the same. He was grinning as he stripped the still pink flesh from the bones. They talked about other things, safer ones. When the time came to start again, the man picked up the yoke. "You go on ahead, clear the path," he said, shrugging the vine into place on his shoulders. "I'll haul this piece of crap the rest of the way." "You don't have to do that," Ramon said, but his twin waved the objection away. Ramon was secretly relieved. His body felt beaten half to death the way he'd been abusing it. But still, there was a problem. "I can't do it, man. You've still got the knife." His twin scowled, pulled the blade from his field pack, and held it out, handle first. Ramon nodded when he took it. They didn't say anything more about it. Clearing brush turned out to be almost as arduous as hauling the raft. Every step seemed to require hacking away some bush or sapling, and the knife was growing dull with use. Twice, sudden sheets of rain descended, pattering on the leaves and Ramon's shoulders, but the little squalls didn't last. When the storm did hit, if it hit, it promised to be rough, but perhaps the runoff would speed the river.
It was just before dark when they reached the water's edge. Ramon tried for a low whoop, but it came out sounding sarcastic. The man grinned wearily. They surveyed the damage their transit had caused. One of the floats had lost a few ties and needed rebinding. The structure of branches that made up the bulk of the raft had suffered, but not so badly that Ramon felt moved to repair it. "Give me the knife," his twin said. "I'll strip a little bark, tie that cane back together. You get a little firewood, and we can launch this motherfucker again. Leave tonight, maybe outrun this weather."
"Good idea," Ramon said.
"But you sure you don't want to get the firewood? It's easier than stripping bark."
"I don't want to take another fucking step," the man said. "You do it."
Ramon handed back the knife in answer. His twin smiled, as if some tacit agreement had just been made with the weapon's return. Ramon pulled himself back into the trees to the sound of the other man scraping steel against the whetstone. It was a fast-growth forest here, soft wood that rose quickly and collapsed. No centuries-old copperwood here, just black-barked idiotrail and the spiral-trunked godsarm oaks. It would be easy to find fallen branches and double handfuls of moss analogues to use for tinder. The question was how many trips back to the raft he wanted to make before they set out. If it was raining upstream, and it was clearly raining upstream, the runoff could raise the level of the river any time. It might already be running high. If they were lucky, the extra runoff might cut over some of the bends and give them a straighter path to the south. Lost in his calculations, Ramon didn't realize what he was looking at until he felt the fear start his heart beating hard and fast. There, in the soft ground, were fresh prints as wide as his two hands together. A four-lobed paw with deep-dug claw marks. Chupacabra. Somewhere nearby was a fucking chupacabra. He dropped the branches held in his arms and turned to run back to the river, but he hadn't made it halfway before he skidded around a stand of close-knit godsarm oaks and found the beast itself, glaring at him with what seemed like equal parts hunger and hatred. The mouth hung open, the thick split tongue lolling out of it. Its teeth were yellowed and sharp as daggers. Ramon froze, and the black, rage-filled eyes met his. He braced himself for death, but the thing didn't attack. Even then, knowing something was wrong, it took the space of 5 fast breaths together before he noticed the flattening in the animal's neck ruff. The fleshy, rope-like thing buried in the chupacabra's neck. A Sahel. He let his gaze move past the chupacabra to the form looming behind it. Beaten, battered, slashed across its chest and legs, Manek still stood at its full, towering height. Its wounded eye had gone black and oozed a noxious ichor. But the uninjured one remained the hot orange Ramon remembered. The alien's arms waved for a moment, gently as kelp under the sea. When it spoke, its deep, half-sorrowful voice was perfectly familiar.
"You have done well," it said.